Open the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 7, and I'll be reading verses 7 to 12, and out of reverence to God, please stand as His Word is read. Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives, and the one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Who among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want others to do for you, do also the same for them. For this is the law and the prophets. You may be seated. Yeah, this is the S bottle. We were looking on Sunday about the previous verses in Matthew 7. We were looking at, do not judge, lest you be judged. And a lot of people stop right there. And it's one verse that's thrown out by a lot of people when you talk about sin. Well, don't judge, because Scripture says don't judge. If we look at Matthew 7:5, it says, you hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Now, if do not judge, lest you be judged, meant don't point out anything in anybody else, then verse 7 or verse 5 would have said, you hypocrite, just deal with yourself. But it doesn't say that. It says, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. It gives us a perspective of what we need to look at. There are a lot of people that want to judge others for the reason to make themselves feel better. If I can point out something wrong in somebody else, I feel better about myself. Look at what so-and-so did. Look at what so-and-so did. Aren't I so good? I don't do that. That's not what it's telling us to do. We need to examine ourselves, and any judgment needs to be God's judgment expressed to someone else in a humble attitude such that we want to see them be right with God and nothing hindering their walk with God. But it is not for us to make ourselves look better. We are to want the other person to be in a better relationship with God. And then we come to our passage. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Now, these are three different words that help us to understand what to do in different situations. You ask when you don't have something. I didn't have any water because I drank all my water on Sunday. And I asked Lana if she would fill up my water bottle if it was still empty, and she did. I asked, and I received water. It's actually a little bit better than if I'd already filled it up because it wouldn't have been cold. But it's cold now. You ask when you don't have something. In James chapter 1, it talks about a situation when we're to ask. We're using James a lot. That's okay. Look at verse 2, James chapter 1, in verse 2. Consider it a great joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you experience various trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. Now, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to him. So, we're to ask for wisdom in the middle of a situation that is described as a great trial. What do we do in this situation? That's what we ask God for. God, here's a situation I find myself in. What should I do? I wasn't aware the situation was going to come up, but it came up. And then if you turn to chapter 4 of James in verse 3, it tells us about how we should ask. You ask and don't receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. We're to ask God with the right motives. God, give me the wisdom. Help me understand what to do in this situation with the motivation of pleasing God. And then in verse 17 of chapter 1, back in James, look what it says. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. We're to ask God, who gives every good gift. And if we turn to 1 John, John tells us what we need to be doing to get an answer from God. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22. Let's start at verse 21. Dear friends, if our hearts don't condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive whatever we ask from Him because we keep His commands and do what is pleasing in His sight. And in John 14, 15, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. In John 14, 21, or Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. We need to understand that we need to ask God with the right motives and be obeying his commands as we go. If we go back to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, it tells us no one can serve two masters, since either he will hate one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. We need to understand we can't be double-minded, as James 1, 7, and 8 says. We need to be focused on what God wants us to do. And then in 1 John 5, 14, we need to be asking according to God's will. What does God will in the situation? Now, there was a time when people were wearing the WWJD bracelet. What would Jesus do? And when they wore those bracelets, a lot of times they made up a Jesus. Instead of looking at what Jesus would actually do and what he actually did and what he actually said, they had a Jesus of their imagination. They said, oh, Jesus would just tell me to ignore that. I even had somebody when we were up in Minnesota tell me, God told me I can ignore that part of the Bible. You might have had some spirit tell you to ignore that part of the Bible, but it wasn't from God. We need to ask when we don't have. You seek when you miss something. The old game we play, hide and seek. I'm unfortunately having to go back to the kids in 2 weeks. Got to go back next week and get ready for them. But one of the games that kids like to play is hide and seek. You know somebody is hidden, and you're trying to find them. When Jesus tells us, seek and you will find, is something that you know, but you missed it. You're asking for something you didn't know about or you don't have. Seek, I missed something. God, help me to find that situation, how to do what something I missed. I missed an opportunity. Seek and you will find. And you knock at something, a door that seems to be shut to you. There are a lot of situations that seem to be shut in our lives as we walk as a Christian. But Jesus says, knock and the door will be open. So in the situations that are new, that come up, that we don't know what to do, we ask. In the situation when we miss something, we ask God, we seek. And when there seems to be a closed door, we knock. And then Jesus gives an example. An example of earthly fathers. Because sometimes we think our heavenly Father is less capable than our earthly fathers. Jesus said, if you have an earthly father, and our earthly fathers are evil, all people are evil, there's only one that's good, and that's God alone. If you ask your father for a loaf of bread, is he going to give you a stone that looks like bread? No. If you ask for a fish, is your earthly father going to give you a snake instead? Now, it might be a snake-shaped cake. Lana's going to be making one of those. Yes. But that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about a reptile without scales. Some commentators say, well, it was just an eel. No, it's not an eel. It's a snake. It's something that's not what you'd want to eat. Even an eel was improper for a Jewish person to eat. But it says our earthly fathers can give us good gifts, even though they're evil. How much more will your heavenly Father give you good gifts? Now, you might ask for a loaf of bread, and your earthly father doesn't have the money to give you bread. But God's not limited by any type of financial difficulty. God can give us all the gifts. Every great gift comes from God. Our God is superior to our earthly fathers. And then Jesus ends with this parable, often called the Golden Rule. Therefore, whatever you want others to do for you, do also the same for them. For this is the law and the prophets. Hinduism, Buddhism, Confucianism, all have a similar phrase, except theirs is always, do not do to others what you do not want them to do to you. So, if you don't want someone to pour a bottle of water on your head, don't pour a bottle of water on their head. If you don't want somebody to slap you, don't slap them. If you don't want somebody to take your money, don't take their money. If you don't want someone to give you a snake, don't give somebody a snake. Well, Jesus turned it upside down. Instead of don't do something you don't want done to you, Jesus says, do unto others what you want them to do for you. It's not an avoid bad things. It's to go and do good things. Do things, not avoid things. we look in James again. Here we go again. Chapter 2 and verse 8. James tells us about this. Indeed, if you fulfill the royal law prescribed in the scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 14, this is echoed here also. Galatians 5, 14. For the whole law is fulfilled in one statement. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus is telling us to look out for our neighbor. One of the religious leaders wanted to justify himself and said, well, who is my neighbor? And Jesus told about two religious people that saw a man beat up and went out of their way to avoid him. But an outcast came, took care of him, bandaged his wounds. And Jesus said, which one was his neighbor? And the guy wouldn't even mention the outcast class. He said, well, I guess the one that helped him. Well, we need to be looking out for others, doing for others what we'd have them do for us. In Matthew 22 and verse 39, Jesus again repeats this. Well, let's start verse 37. He said to them, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important command. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets depend on these two commands. And that's what I said before. Jesus can count. There are not three commands here. We are to love God and love our neighbor like we already love ourselves. We don't need to love ourselves more. We already love ourselves enough. Jesus is telling us, if you need an answer, ask God. If you miss something and want God to tell you how not to miss it next time or how to catch up with what you missed, seek from God. And if a door seems shut, knock. God's going to open the door, answer your questions, and bring about what you missed. Because God withholds no good thing from those who love him and are called according to his purpose. We need to remember, God is the source of everything. We should expect no less from God than we expect from other people. And not, as the song said, bring down God so we can see eye to eye. He's the king of the universe, king of the world. We're going to have a business meeting, a short business meeting in just a minute. We'll have our closing prayer, give you a few minutes to take a bathroom break. I need to go get my gavel so I can bang on the podium. But we'll be closing the service now. Lord, thank you that you promise if we ask, we will receive. If we seek, we will find. If we knock, the door will be open. Because it is you that provides the answers. It's you that provides everything we need. Let us seek your wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen.